In today's episode, we'll be talking with Jim Cermak again from Trade Show University, and we'll be talking about his Trade Show Success Roadmap right after this. Welcome back to Watch Time, everybody. So another episode. We're here with Jim Cermak, who's been here in the past. And thanks for coming, Jim.
Oh, my gosh. It's a pleasure to be back here. It's always an honor. And great talking to you.
Yeah, you know, I love talking with you. I know we were talking a lot before the episode even started. Yeah. So why don't we, for everybody that's watching and listening, you know, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself in case they haven't caught the last episode that you were in, and tell us what you've been up to.
Absolutely. Well, I'm the founder and host of the Trade Show University podcast, or Trade Show University as we are developing the university. And what we do is we help businesses to get more leads, more sales, more profits using the power of trade shows. And just help them figure out the best ways of doing all that.
That's fantastic. That's a very important skill. Yeah. And I know, as we were talking earlier, you know, trade shows can be so expensive. So not having a plan and not having somebody to work with where you can really maximize your ROI out of your trade show is definitely something that's needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I've been doing trade shows for over 30 years. And I've done hundreds and hundreds of shows throughout my career in a lot of different industries. And so over that time, I've developed and realized to have a very successful show, there's 8 steps that every business needs to go through. Every business should go through. Mm-hmm. And even the largest companies that spend tons of money at shows often don't go through all 8 steps. Either that, or they just glance over them. They don't go in depth into each step. And so that's part of the 8-step roadmap that I have developed to help companies make sure they are doing everything right.
And we'll be talking about those 8 steps in this episode. And I guess let's dive in, because I'm curious. I mean, I kind of already looked through them, but like, you kind of got me thinking as I'm going through this. I know we're thinking about doing some trade shows, and I've been to trade shows, and I'm like, man, I can see where the error is. So let's dive in. And do you want to give us an overview of the 8 steps first, and we can dive in each one individually?
Perfect. And really, and like you said, you're looking at this and go, oh, I see where it's really looking at it like a gap analysis. What's missing? What am I missing? It's not what you're doing wrong, but what are you missing? And so that's what I help companies. So as we dive into the 8 steps, so step 1 is research the show. Okay, that assumes you pick the right show. And then once you've picked the right show, researching the heck out of the show. Step 2 is setting the right metrics and goals. Mm-hmm. And that is, what am I really trying to accomplish at that? And a lot of companies, they'll pick one goal. Oh, we're going to get this many leads, this much sales. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more that you can be doing. You're not limited to one goal, but it's setting not just the right goals, but the right metrics. And we'll talk about that a little bit. And then focusing your message and your brand. That's your display. That's what people see, what they experience when they come up on your booth, and doing that the right way. And then the 4th is designing the attendee journey. And this is where a lot of companies, they skip over it. And they think that, okay, they're going to come to our booth, and then what? You know, they're going to ask questions. We're going to answer questions. Everyone's going to leave happy. We're going to make a sale. You know, but it's more than just having someone stop by your booth, but having them go on a journey with you through your business. So that's step 4. And then step 5, once you've got that stuff dialed in, it's training your staff, making sure everyone that works at your booth is on the same page, that they all understand what are our goals, why are we here, what's all this going on with the show, and how do we get people through that attendee journey when they get to our booth. So that's training the staff for success. And then number 6 is marketing to drive traffic. It's not just marketing, not just telling people you're going to be at the show, but to actually drive traffic. There's very specific things you need to think about to drive people to your booth from social media and whatever marketing that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Step 7 is creating that successful follow-up strategy. You got to have your strategy, your follow-up strategy in line. We talked a lot about this earlier off camera, but having that follow-up strategy dialed in before you get to the show so that you can execute on it right after the show. And then step 8 is just executing flawlessly. So you have your best show ever. And there's some steps in there as well. It's not just showing up. Yeah. not just showing up, it's just being able to execute as well as you can. And then this is an iterative process. It's a circle. So you learn from everything, so the next show is even better than that.
It's a flywheel.
Absolutely. It gets better, and then you can't stop it.
This is great. Yeah. And I mean, for everyone that's watching, listening, if you've been to trade shows or you're thinking about trade show marketing, but even if you've been to trade shows and you haven't gotten the results that you want, I feel like this is the time. Like, you're about to learn how to get some good results out of this. And I mean, in the thing is like, what's crazy is just looking at your roadmap. And if it's okay, if you can send me a link for this, well, we can link it so people can come to you and get it from you, so they can kind of follow along. But looking at the roadmap, like, a lot of these things make sense. And anybody that's watching that does marketing or sales, like, this is, to me, like, this is the standard type of thing that you, to be a successful marketer, to have successful sales, there are processes in place, and I'm excited to dive in. So let's jump into step number one.
Sure. Step number one, just research the show. So first of all, make sure you're at the right show. So, and if you're already into it, you've signed the contract, right? I'm at the right show. Okay. Now, how do I get the most out of the show? And that's where a lot of companies, they stop. They go, okay, we picked the show. We know our target audience is going to be there. We know it's a big show. It's an industry show. We got to be there. We've always wanted to go. But then they stop there. We sign the contract, and they don't do enough to research. And when I say research the show, really understand who are the attendees. Don't just know the industry, if it's a business to business. Or if you're doing a home show and it's the public, who's coming to that show? How many people are going to be coming to the show? So you want to make sure you're staffed appropriately. You don't have one person for a show that they're expecting 100,000 people over the course of a couple days. You want to make sure, we should probably bring a couple extra people just to make sure that we can manage that. So understand who's coming, how many people are coming, what opportunities is that show going to offer for marketing purposes? Are they offering special email blasts, direct mail, banner ads on the website? What things can you get for free? Are they doing a new business showcase so that you get some extra things? But understand, you're not going to get anything. They're not just going to tell you, oh, yeah, by the way, you get this, and you get this for free and this for free. They're not going to tell you that. You need to do some digging. So research everything you can about the show to make sure that you get the most out of the show.
Yeah, and this makes sense. Like, this really makes a lot of sense to me. So I can just say from experience from us, right? So whenever we're doing any work at it, we do a lot of work at trade shows when we're going there. I always like to research and see, like, to your point, like, who are the sponsors? Who's going to be there? Yeah. I like to see from a networking and a connection standpoint. But I mean, I think this is huge, because if I'm going, and I'm just kind of looking at it from the lens of the shows that I want us to exhibit at next year. I want to think about, like, who are our competitors?
Yeah.
Like, who's going to be there? Like, and what are they offering? Because, like, what if they're offering something, or they're driving traffic a specific way, and, you know, we're not set up to compete with that? You know, like, they're going to get all the traffic because they're doing something, which I'm sure we'll talk about more later. But, you know, understanding that. And then I think from a video perspective, what I've noticed, and just because we've been the vendor at some of these shows, is there are times that whether it be the show itself is putting on some type of media, or like bringing in a media team, or whether it be like there's a publication that's going to be there covering it. I think that's huge to look at too, because there's an opportunity as a vendor, to your point, if you're a new exhibitor or if you have a special product, you could be reaching out to these publications and driving them to your booth. And now you're getting free, like, video and media and marketing.
Absolutely. You bring up a couple of great things. First of all is understanding who's going to be exhibiting at that show. Scour that show floor plan. If it's on the show website, and most of them do have a floor plan and says, here's all the exhibitors. Go through every single company. I never heard of this company. Click on their name. What do they do? Oh, this could be a potential partner of us. Or, this could be a vendor. We've been looking for a new supplier of this because ours is we have a crappy supplier.
Yeah.
So, or this could be a possible customer of ours. Mm-hmm. And also, you mentioned competitors. Which of your competitors are going to be there? And then you're going to weave that into your show plan to make sure that somebody gets over to their booth to take pictures, to see what are they offering. Oh, they have a new product. Oh, they've got some literature I can grab. Whatever it is, make sure you take the time. Once you understand who's all going to be there and who you want to interact with, now you can set up a plan to say, okay, we need to have this person. Bob, when the show's slow, get over to these three booths, and you're going to meet this person, or you set up appointments ahead of time, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, who are the sponsors? Who are the other big players in this? And the other thing that I absolutely love that you mentioned is find out which media are going to be there. and have them come by your booth. They're looking for stories. Mm-hmm. They want to talk to you. They really do. Especially if you have something good to talk to them about. You're a brand new exhibitor. You have a new product you're launching, new service. They want it. They want that information. So make sure you reach out to them to take advantage of. They're going to be there already.
Well, and you have a fantastic episode. I know I listened to. I believe you share it with me. And I don't remember the episode number, so you have to let me know. Maybe we'll drop it in the notes. But you have that episode where you had somebody on that talked about getting PR at shows.
Yes, yeah. Josh Weiss from 10to1 PR, his company out of Phoenix, but he is just fantastic. It's a master class. It really is. It was a while back. A couple years ago. But it's very, very valid today. Really, really worthwhile.
Yeah. So if you can share that with me after the fact, like, we'll link that, because I do think that I remember listening to that. I was out running, and I know you shared it with me, so I listened, and there were just things that, like, I just had never thought of.
Yeah.
So I think it was fantastic what he was covering.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely, you know, check the show notes. Or
Okay. Is there anything else with one, or you want to jump into two?
Let's just research the show. I think over time.
Yeah.
You know, I think about when I was a kid. I'm an old guy, but you know, I went to the library and we opened books and we had to research. We had to find. It's not like talking to our phone. Hey Siri, what's the answer to this question? And you get it instantaneously. And we don't dig enough. So. Take the time, dig through the show, see what opportunities are there for you that are not there on the surface.
So I have to mention, like, just because this reminds me of, I was just listening to it. You ever watched or listened to the show Founders?
I think once or twice.
Yeah, it's really, I was recommended to me by a friend, and I hadn't listened to it. I just subscribed. And so the head of the podcast, like, he reads these autobiographies on Founders, and he breaks down what he learned from it. So what's interesting about what you said is he sent it to me because he read the book. It was all in David Ogilvy, and it was the Tales of an Advertising Man or something like that, or Confessions of an Advertising Man.
Okay.
And so he talked about this, and he talked about, like, growth, like company growth. And one thing he always said was that you had to work smarter and you had to have an endless supply of, like, midnight oil. And I feel like that goes into this research section. I just, like, as you're saying that, and you're like, do the research, go there, you know, you just go to the library, crack the books open. But even on the computer, like, when people are sitting there at home, like, you know, this is work that can be done. I do a lot of research when I'm, like, watching TV. I just, like, because you're kind of, like, half pulling information and looking at it, and you could do that with your laptop. And I just think if you want to be successful, you have to put the time in. And it is, that's for anything.
Yeah.
And I just think research is key. I research so much stuff, whether it be prospects, competitors, and I've had an opportunity. I research the companies before we even go in and work with them. And I go there, and we'll be talking about things, and they're like, oh, you know, we wanted, I remember we did some work for part of the one large video project that we had. We went into a uniform shop, and it was for law enforcement. This woman ran uniform shop. It's all uniforms for women. And when we went in there, we were, like, setting up, we were getting ready to shoot, and they were talking about their Instagram and stuff, and they're talking about, like, how they travel around the country to, like, sell uniforms. And I'm like, oh yeah, well, you guys were just in Chicago, like, a week ago. And, like, they're like, oh yeah, yeah. And I'm like, well, then you're gonna be in New York, like, next week. And they're like looking at me, and they're like, well, I'm like, well, I was on your social media, like, before we came in, I wanted to see what you guys did. So I feel like that adds stuff to what we're doing. And I think, like, you know, for, like, this client thinks, you know, they're like, well, they care. They looked, you know. And I feel like this can be done not only for the show to research for you getting into there, but to your point, like, if there is an opportunity for you to collaborate with another vendor, if there is an opportunity for you to, like, talk to media, having a little bit of knowledge about those people, like, it's flattering to show that you looked and that you care. And I feel like that may open up a door that you didn't even think. Like, you're trying to sell to the people coming to the show and didn't even realize that you could make a partner with you know, somebody that's going to be there.
It makes an impact. It really does. As you're talking, it reminded me of that quote. I think it's from Abraham Lincoln. He says, if I have 5 hours to chop down a tree, I'm going to spend the first four sharpening my axe.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing in this first step, is sharpening your axe, is trying to figure out, oh, how do I get the most out of this show? And you don't know if you don't research.
Yeah.
They're not just going to come out and tell you all the things. Oh, I didn't know you wanted that. That's what their answer would be.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you research the show.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So step two is setting the right metrics and goals. And like I said before, you want to make sure you have some goals, because there's so many companies I've worked with, and they don't even have goals. We just want to get a lot of leads, as many leads as we can get. Well, that's not a goal. Mm-hmm. That's not a goal. Is that three, or is that 300, or what is it? You know? And so it's understanding, and not only that, what is a lead? A lead is not just a lead. Is it, you want to make sure it's a qualified lead. So if you think about your put on your sales hat and think about a sales pipeline. Okay, you've got a prospect, and then you've got to qualify that prospect. And then, you know, what is the next step to go down? Okay, I'm going to set up an appointment. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to do a demo. I'm going to make a sale. I'm going to, you know, whatever that is, whatever that sales pipeline, how far can you get people down at a trade show? That's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You want to think as far down as that pipeline, realistically. Like you said, you know, if you've got a long-term sales cycle and a high ticket, you know, a $300,000 piece of machinery that typically it takes you 6 to 9 months to sell, you're not going to sell that at the trade show. Don't even think about that. Maybe your first step is scheduling an appointment or doing a demo or something like that. But don't just scan a badge and think, I've got a lead, because it's not a lead. Yeah. It's unless you're 100% sure that that's quality, you want to make sure you're qualifying those leads. And so you need to do that by asking the right questions. But we'll get to that a little bit here. But first we want to see, okay, so maybe it's whatever that is. Maybe I can make a sale because I've got a low ticket item. Maybe, you know, you're a food company, you're selling to retailers, and they're there to make purchases of whatever commodity or item that you're selling. So maybe that is your goal. Whatever that is, leads, qualified leads, whatever it is, make sure that's the first thing. And when I say metrics, that is qualified lead, not just a lead, but a qualified lead, so that you're not wasting your time. And then you could have also other goals, like we talked about when you research the show. Okay, we're going to have successful meetings with these three companies.
Yeah.
That could be potential customers of ours. Another goal is we're going to take pictures of every one of our competitors' booths.
Yeah.
You know, that's another goal. So you could have a lot of different goals. If you're just working the show by yourself, then obviously you don't want to overwhelm yourself with all these things. But if you've got multiple people, you give each person, okay, this is your goal. You have these three goals to accomplish. I've got these three goals. This person has other three goals. So you can do a lot at a show, but you got to plan this out in advance. It's not just going to happen organically.
I love the goal you were talking about, just about, like, you know, these, we want to talk to these three people. And for example, like, we want to make sure we connect with these three. And I think, like, everybody that's, like, watching and listening, if you're a business owner or even if you're a salesperson, like, everybody has, like, their list of, like, their dream prospects. And it's like, if you know they're going to be there, like, I know for a fact, like, for me, like, a dream prospect for me, I try to do my best to not only research the company, but research who is my point of contact.
Yeah.
And then I try to, like, follow them on LinkedIn and learn about them. Like, what do they like to do in their spare time? What do they share? And I mean, I even go as far as sometimes I'll do a little Facebook research to see if they're on there and see, 'cause, like, I just think that, like, if they're, like, these key prospects, it would be a huge, like, gain for your company to, like, be able to pick them up as a client or work with them. You should be doing, this goes back to that research. You should be doing all that research,
right?
Because, like, next thing you know, you never, like, if you know they're going to be there, maybe they're, for me, a lot of times it's usually the CMO or the, you know, vice president or president of sales, or, like, the people that are, like, the key decision makers and what we do. So it's like, you might have this company that you really want to work with and the CMO ends up in your booth, and what are you gonna, you're going to miss that opportunity. But if you did the research and you set that goal, like, hey, we know they're going to be there, let's try and get them to our booth. And if we can, let's have a conversation. Like, and there's nothing better. I love leading conversations with, you know, common ground and common interests. So if you find out, like, you go on their Facebooks, by, like, looking at people's Facebook and Instagram, you find out that they like to boat or they like baseball or they like hockey. Like, you can see that from their stuff. And you don't have to be like, hey, I looked at your Instagram, so I like hockey. But you could say, oh, like, yeah, like, maybe you're at a trade show in San Jose and you're like, man, you know, talking to this person, trying to build some common ground. I hope, you know, I'm going to try and see if I can catch a Sharks game while I'm here. Like, do you like hockey or do you like, you know, and then that might just start that conversation. And now, you know, you can build a relationship, because maybe the goal isn't, it is to set the appointment, but maybe it's to build that familiarity, that bond where somebody's like, I like this person, you know? Like,
absolutely.
So there's a lot there that I think I just like that goal. I think that's such I feel like it's a sharp way to connect. And I also wanted to mention with the goals too, like, I feel like, and I know I'm going to mess up this acronym, but SMART goals.
SMART goals.
I know I'm going to mess this up, but it's like, you know, strategic, measurable, like, these, like, what, what can you do to measure these things? What can you do to be strategic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, if anyone's interested, this will be a Flex Media watch time bonus because I put together a ultimate goal setting workbook for trade shows. And in there goes through the SMART goals and helps you figure out for your trade show, you know, hitting those specific goals, the measurable goals, and how do you do that in the context of a trade show? If you want that? Reach out to me. We'll put my contact information. Yeah. Tell me so on here, and I'll get you that absolutely free.
Take advantage of that because that's. I mean, anybody can set goals. Like, yes. You know, everyone can say like, you know, I want to make $1 million. But if you don't have a way to work backwards to get to that $1 million. It's really not a goal. It's a dream.
That's the A, attainable. It's got to be attainable. You can't just say, "Oh, we're gonna get 1,000 leads from this" when the show only brings in 500 people. Yeah. So it's got to be realistic. It's got to be attainable. So
get
make
people
sure
out on the sidewalk trying to sell.
Right. Absolutely. So that is setting metrics and goals. Don't skip this step. Take the time, you know, think about when you're doing your annual, if you're a business owner or even you're putting together your marketing plan, how much time do you invest in putting together your marketing plan for the year? It doesn't take 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It takes a long time. It can be multiple days, weeks, even as you're leading up to put that kind of effort into your trade show.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong on this too. And for everyone watching and listening, especially if you're in marketing or you're an entrepreneur or sales, when you're putting together that marketing and sales plan for the year, I feel like if part of how you generate leads and drive sales is by going to trade shows, like it shouldn't be like, and we're going to go to trade shows. It should be like, here's the marketing plan. Here's the trade show marketing plan. Here's how they work together.
Oh my gosh. Music to my ears. Yeah. Rewind that and play it again because that's gold right there. That's gold. It's got to meet the corporate goals as well. Yeah. You know, make sure your overall goals are going to be met by, you don't want to just be bringing in business that is not really taking your business to where it needs to go.
Yeah.
So that means being at the right show and all that good stuff. So, and yes. Okay. I can go down this path, these tangents, all day long.
I completely understand. I know we preach it on this podcast. We preach it to our clients and from a video perspective. And it's metrics and goals. I mean, that's one of the key steps to an effective video strategy is what are your goals of this video campaign and what metrics are you using to track whether or not this video is successful. Mm-hmm. And people just skip over that. They go, I want a video.
Yeah.
And they produce it. And it's like, and I'm like, well, how do you know if it even did what you wanted it to do? Like, you know, like that's, I mean, it blows my mind because people, I think about it from a perspective of fitness, right? People will track their fitness journey. I mean, I have it on my Apple Watch, you know, people use Fitbit, whatever it may be, and they track it like crazy. And because their health is that important, but then when it comes to investments for their business and marketing, they don't track anything.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to keep pumping money into Facebook ads. What's it getting for you? I think I made a couple sales but yet you continue to pump money into that. And the same thing with trade shows, not only money, but resources and time and yes. Goals. Set goals.
Bottom line.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So going on to step three, which is focusing your message and brand. That is what people see when they come up. They're walking past your booth. Mm-hmm. What are they seeing? You know, that's the whole, your branding. And the way I like to guide companies is saying, when you're designing your booth, design it like a billboard, not a brochure. Okay. How many times have you walked past a booth and you see maybe three panels and it's just loaded with text and all these graphics and everything? And no one's going to stop there and actually look and read everything. They're not. Okay. So, and a lot of times companies, and I know this is what I do when I walk down a show floor and down the hall, I'm going down this aisle and I'm scanning and I'm looking and I'm just, okay. What's capturing my attention? Mm-hmm. And if it's too much stuff, I'm not going to stop. Because I don't have time to talk. You know, there's 400 booths here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop and talk to you. Mm-hmm. Okay, just because you're smiling and you're saying hi and all this good stuff. But what is it that is going to grab my attention? That's a very clear, very easy to understand, non-confusing message that hits somebody. Okay, so I can quickly go, I need to talk to them.
Yeah.
Or, I should, maybe I should talk to them. And then hopefully someone is coming and engaging with me.
No, that's great advice. I have to ask you, have you ever read Marketing Made Simple?
I have not.
Donald Miller.
No.
So
I love Donald Miller, though.
So yeah, building a story brand. And he says it all the time with, if you confuse, you lose.
Yeah.
And he talks about, in Marketing Made Simple, and I feel like this applies. He talks about this for websites. And he talks about a website being able to pass the grunt test. And basically, when the idea is that if a caveman was to go to your website, they could look at your heading and just look at the text right underneath it, and they could just grunt out what you do without having to think about it. But when they, like, if that doesn't happen, people get confused because they don't understand what it is you do. So to your point, like, when you're building out this type of display, I feel like it should be really clear. Like, if you sell, like, let's use, for example, you know, like for us, we sell video production. So we're at a trade show. We should have something that says, you know, like Flex Media video production, whatever it may be, and not like we have all these beautiful backdrops and some text and stuff. And people are like, what is Flex Media? Do you guys, are you media buyers? Do you create videos? Do you create content? Are you a marketer? Like, can I buy videos from you guys, like DVDs? Like, what do you sell? Like, so to your point, like, I just think that, like, that's a good thing to think about in terms of, like, the booth messaging. As soon as you said that, I was like, man, I was like, it's like, because people only have so many brain cells. That's what Donald Miller talks about, like, that they can utilize throughout the day. And it's a survival instinct. And once those brain cells, like, if it's too overwhelming and there's too much, you're burning too many calories to get that message, then you just keep going.
Absolutely. Well, think about being on the freeway and you're going 60 or whatever miles an hour you're going, and you see that billboard and you have a split second to get what the billboard's saying. And how many times we see a billboard and you go, I have no clue what that means. I don't know what company is. I don't know what they're trying to tell me. I don't know. Or something, oh, that looks great. Oh, this is a picture of beautiful, delicious food, and I'm hungry. But I don't even know, what is that? Where do I get that? And so you have to think of a trade show the same way. You don't have time for people to stand there and read all over all your stuff. Because there's not only they're moving, but they're being distracted by all the other booths, and there's maybe music playing, and there's lights, and there's now they're smelling fresh baked cookies from coming from somewhere. Yeah. And so you got to break through that, make sure you're very, very clear and concise with your messaging.
And I have to shout this out, because the billboard thing makes me think about this all the time. Like, this is a graphic designer issue. Like, people will take their postcard and they'll blow it up to the billboard, and they're like, oh, it's the same art. Please do not blow up your postcard. Like, talk to somebody who's a trade show, like, booth designer, or somebody for graphic design.
Yes.
Please work with somebody to, like, design that booth. And just don't take your art and, like, well, we'll blow it up.
Right.
And I'm sure there are graphic designers cheering everywhere right now, because it does. Like, it happens. Yeah. And it's just something that is designed to be a postcard, or something that's designed to be a door hanger, or even a pull-up banner. Like, that doesn't mean that it's set to be a full-on trade show display.
Right. And when and how many times I've seen grainy graphics because they blow up something that was not vectored, and all of a sudden it becomes big grainy mess, and you can't, it's not clear, and it's like, now you're embarrassed that it's even there. Or, you know, when you're looking at it and you're staring at it on a big monitor.
Yeah.
And so you could see everything, and you, because it's your company, you're reading everything top to bottom. You go, oh yeah, that's all. Oh, I love all this stuff. And it's like, no, what are people seeing? And they're not even seeing all the way to the bottom. That's wasted space a lot of times at the bottom of your display backdrop or a pull up banner, because they're never going to get to that. And that might be the most important thing you want to tell them. Get that to the top and keep it clear and minimal.
It's crazy, because, like, I just had a conversation the other day with a prospect, and we were talking about, like, you know, your audience and who you're selling to. And, like, I just think about this, like, especially, like, with trade shows. Like, if you're going to a trade show and you have a big booth and you have it's a B2B product or something that is a complex sale, if you're selling a high value product or service, you have to invest in a high value, like, high value marketing for your booth, come up with a strategy, like you're saying, because you can't, I mean, if you're trying to sell quality, and high quality items or services, I feel like you can't come in with the grainy backdrop or text all over the place or poorly designed things or the video that you shot on your iPhone that's going to be part of your trade show display, because you're like, well, you know, it's good enough. It's like, you know, it's a video. And it's just like, no, it's like people need to know, like, this is a company that cares enough to look like this to us. So yes. I know they're going to care enough about what they're selling to us.
So important. Make sure that your brand matches your display.
Yeah.
And also part of your brand is your people. Are you all wearing, do you all look good? Okay. did you all iron your clothes before you put them on? Or did you just take them out of the suitcase? You know, make sure that you're looking good. Make sure, are you matching? Are you all have the company colors? Mm-hmm. You know, there's something to be said about that. And I've had a lot of discussions about, we don't like everyone matching. There's something good about that, especially if you have a bigger booth, you have a busy booth. Yeah. If I'm coming in, I know who I can go and talk to about if I have a question. But if everyone's wearing just whatever, a suit or whatever, it might take me a while to figure out, and I might leave without it asking my question because I just don't want to take the time to figure out who to talk to. So that's all part of your brand, but it's got to be cohesive and in line with what they're getting. You know, if you think about buying a car, if you were buying a Porsche and you walked into a Porsche dealership or pick your favorite high-end brand and it looked like a used car dealership with mismatched desks and low budget, you'd be like, I'm not in the right place, am I? I'm not buying a Porsche here.
Probably buying stolen ones.
Right, that's right.
That's a good point, though, with the matching, because, you think about, I guess just from, a retail perspective, if I go into Best Buy or if I go into Home Depot, I know, Home Depot, they're wearing the orange shirts. Best Buy, they're wearing the blue shirts. So I know who I'm looking for if I need something. And I feel like if you walk into the booth and you see somebody talking to a customer, this person works here, you could see the logo on their shirt and they're wearing, whatever, green. And you're like, okay, that's them. They're tied up. And you look over and you see another person that's wearing green over here and they're by themselves. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna go talk to that person.
Yeah.
You know, versus like you said, if they're all wearing mismatched things, then what may end up happening is you're looking around and you see this person talking to somebody, this person, maybe this guy's standing over here. And one of two things is gonna happen. Either you're gonna leave and be like, well, I don't know who that is, so there's nobody here to help me. Or you're going to go ask that person, and inevitably they're going to be like, I don't work here.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, I'm waiting to talk to someone too.
Or even worse, it's a competitor. And they're like, come down here. I'll talk to you down here.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, but something that really drove this point home to me is many, many years ago, early on in my trade show journey, and the company I was working for, we were wearing these obnoxiously loud chartreuse polos. And I was complaining from the time we got there. Why do we have to wear these things? I look horrible in this. My wife told me I looked horrible in it. Anyway, we got to, I was on lunch and the separate lunch area, and you have these big round tables and I'm sitting with a bunch of people and we're talking. Someone tapped me on the shoulder, said, do you work for, and it was the company I worked for. I'm like, yeah. They said, I have a question. I've got, we're looking to buy this or that. And I'm like, all of a sudden it turned a prospect, but they recognized me. I wasn't even by my booth, but because I was wearing that obnoxiously colored, and this is not a promotion for obnoxiously colored shirts, although they have their place.
Yeah.
But it's just that I was recognized because of that, because of the whole matching part. So it's all part of your brand, and just make sure that your brand, your message is clear. Don't confuse. When you confuse, you lose. I love it. I love
it.
It's
awesome.
Yeah. So that's number three. Number four. This is my most fun thing when I work with companies, and that is designing the attendee journey. And that is, it doesn't matter if you're at a small show and you've got a tabletop display and you're working by yourself, or you have a massive display, a 30 by 30, and you've got 10 people working, you can take each person through a journey of your company. And by that is, first you got to get them into your booth. So that's part of the attendee journey, and that is engaging with the people. And you have to have a very specific way and a very effective way to engage with people because they're walking past. Why should they stop and talk to you? So engaging does not mean saying hi. It doesn't mean just smiling at them. It doesn't mean asking them, oh, how are you enjoying Las Vegas? Or did you catch the show? Or even, ooh, nice shoes. Mm-hmm. That all may have them stop and talk to you or at least look your way, but it's not going to make them stop and engage with you. Mm-hmm. So having that question that is going to bring them in, that's going to stop them for even a split second to make them think. And it could be a qualification question, or if it's not a qualification question, the next question needs to be a qualifier.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you're looking to just, if you only work with nonprofit organizations, maybe that person that walking by, hey, do you work for a nonprofit? Seems like a simple question, but a lot of companies may not think that granular to go, oh, I can just ask that right out of the gate?
Yeah.
Yes. Because if they don't work for a nonprofit and you only work with nonprofits, let them go.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk to them. You don't want to go into your pitch just in case because they stopped and they were nice. No, let them go. So anyway, you're bringing them in, and then you've got to figure out, what do I want to take them through? And the first part of the journey is, this is all selfish. What do I need from them?
Yeah.
What do I need from you, the attendee? I need to know, for every company it's going to be a little different, but maybe it's, I need your contact information.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know what your role is in the decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know what size company you are. I need to know how often your sales site, your buying cycle, whatever it is. Every company is going to be a little different as to what information I want to get. Once I've got them qualified, then I could say, can I take 30 seconds and tell you what we do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or can I tell you about our new product? Or can I tell you about this? Or can I show you something that's really amazing?
Yeah.
Or show you how to save money? Or that next thing, to get them into that pitch and keep the pitch quick.
Yeah.
So and then get them out of your booth. Once you've got them in, and then part of this whole journey is going to be starting that follow-up process, which is all the way into step 7, but you starting that follow-up process right there at the booth, so they're expecting a follow-up when they leave.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all part of this journey. You've got to have it mapped out, and you've got to have every single person in your staff understanding what their part of the journey is, because they might not just be talking to you. There might be three different people that you want them to talk to, and depending on how they answer questions. Mm-hmm. Maybe they need they want to see a demo.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm gonna hand you over to Dave here. He's going to go through the demo with you. And then maybe Dave's going to give it to another person to set the follow-up or whatever it is. Or maybe it's everything's you. Maybe you're the journey, okay? But that's setting this attendee journey, or we call it the booth flow. How are they going to flow in your booth and out of your booth? And it's got to be orchestrated ahead of time, and everyone's got to be on the same page to make that work.
This reminds me a lot of, and it's probably exactly like this, and we just had a couple episodes on this recently, talking about buyer's personas and how they play into the customer journey. And I feel like this kind of, it's kind of similar to that. Like you need to identify, if you don't have a persona, get some personas. And then I'm just going to plug that again because we said it in the one episode. But you need to identify who it is you're trying to sell to.
Yeah.
And that nonprofit, that's one part of that. But then also then thinking through this like you would like a marketing customer journey. Like there's a flow and a process to running ads and things like that, and mm-hmm. your sales cycle. Like salespeople have they have ideal customers, and they have a journey that they take them through, whether it be, if it's cold reach out or it's inbound leads, and they have a different journey for these people.
Yeah.
And it just, this all makes sense. It's all basically what you're doing really is you're optimizing this for an in-person type of marketing and sales opportunity.
Yeah, it's exactly it. It's exactly it.
And that's the thing. It's crazy that nobody's thinking this. It's like they'll think this way when they got to run ads. They'll think this way when they're salespeople and they're reaching out to prospects.
Right.
But they don't think this way at the trade show.
Exactly. Exactly. And and going back to that that information you're looking for, what do you do on a sales call? What information do you need to have a successful sales call? That's the same information you should be asking, because this is maybe a pre-sales call. You want this to lead to a sales call, down the road, depending on your sales cycle and depending on your sales pipeline. You want this to lead there. Mm-hmm. So important. And think about, from a video standpoint, when you do storyboarding and you lay it everything out and you go, okay, here's where we're trying to get to. I'll let you speak to that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's very, very similar. We're taking the viewer on a journey.
Yes. Yeah. It's like what we preach on this podcast all the time about pre-production and understanding the goals and what you're going through, the journey that they're going through, getting in the mind of the viewer, and it all plays into what you're describing. I have to mention though, I know we talked about it earlier, and I wanted to throw it out there again, that book, Fanatical Prospecting. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm getting the author wrong. I think it's Jed Blunt, but he's got a guy from Sales Gravy, and he mentions in the book, and I think about this, like what you're talking about, this attendee journey, right? He talks about with sales. He goes, there are three goals in sales. And the three goals as a salesperson is you either are trying to get more information on the company to figure out who the decision maker is and when their buying window is, you're trying to set an appointment, or you're trying to close a sale. Like, those are the three goals of a sales call or a sales email. And I feel like it's the same here. Like, when you're talking to these attendees, you know, maybe it's not setting a meeting. Maybe you've never heard of this company. So maybe you're just trying to get some more information and like, oh, like, well, you know, what do you guys do? You know, yeah, you're kind of like, you're qualifying, like you're saying, like, oh, like, when do you guys buy this? Like, when do you look into that? Now you're kind of like, and also, by the way, if you're doing this, like, maybe keep a notebook nearby so you can write this stuff down later. You should probably take notes anyways. Like, whoever you talk to, you're going to reach out to try and remember those conversations.
Yeah.
Because there's probably a ton of them.
Absolutely.
But you get that information. Maybe you qualify. And maybe you don't set the meeting yet. Maybe you're like, okay, well, hey, it was great talking to you, and I'll reach out. And so now you kind of know, like, well, they're not in the buying window yet, so we'll wait, and then maybe they are in a few months. So I'll reach out after the show and, you know, and reach out to them and just connect. And then in a month, I'll reach out and we'll reconnect again. Or you set that meeting. Or if it is something where it's a small enough, you know, like we were saying earlier, if it's a small enough product, maybe you sell. So, like, these are kind of like, I feel like it's the same options here at the show.
Yeah.
And just understanding that journey. I feel like, I know we mentioned this earlier, so I got to touch on it. And the book says this too, is just that whole thing on cold calling. Like, it's not that people don't like cold calling. They don't like having to have their day interrupted and spend all this time with a salesperson that won't get to the point. And they're just beating around the bush, and they're like, let me tell you about all these great things that we do, and let me tell you about, because it's like people don't care about that. Yeah. So I feel like what you're saying, like have that journey mapped out. What's that script going to be like? What are you going to touch on? Get the person the information, hit one of those three goals, and then get them out of your booth, because they got other things to do and other people to see.
Yeah.
It's being respectful.
I challenge. Yeah, it is. It's being respectful of your time and theirs. Yeah. And I challenge my clients, we're going to get our journey done in 2 to 3 minutes. Unless there is some other reason we need to have them there longer, 2 to 3 minutes, we want it in the booth, out of the booth, and they're going to be smiling and expecting that next step when that happens.
Yeah.
And I've had people say, oh, well, what if they have questions? What if they have this? Okay, either you can turn them to someone they can answer their questions while you go and prospect that next person off the show floor, or you say, hey, I would love to answer these. Let's jump on a call next week. It's a busy show. There's a lot for you to see. I want to answer those questions. Or maybe, how about this? You going to that networking thing tonight? Let's grab a drink and I'm able to answer your questions. Utilize other things. You don't have to do everything right then and there. You don't have to get sucked into 20-minute conversations that, even if they lead to a sale, that's fantastic. But while you're talking to somebody for 20 minutes, how many people are walking past your booth that will never walk past your booth again?
Yeah.
And you don't know if a person that's even a better prospect is not walking because you are locked into this conversation, and you're happy to be there because you're having a great conversation. I get it. But you've got to be disciplined. 2 to 3 minutes, in and out. Need help with that? Call me. All right.
I mean, that could be like we were talking about earlier. Like, you could identify, like, here are your top five prospects that you want to work. Here are your, you know, these are your whales. These are the people that you want to work for. And to your point, you could be talking to this person answering their questions for 20 minutes, which it's good customer service, don't get me wrong, but what if one of those five walked right by?
Walked right past.
And you're like, and you see them go by, and the problem is now, not only did you lose that prospect, but I feel like because you spent so much time in there and you've seen them walk by, you're like out of the conversation. So you're not even giving them the attention that they, so now it's like you could lose two sales.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's the worst. All of a sudden, and the person that is talking to you knows that you were just gone in that moment. Oh my gosh. And to go back to something you said real quick.
Yeah.
I just want to hit on in the follow-up. And you mentioned about taking notes. So critical. As soon as you're done with the conversation, take either grab a notepad, make some copious notes, or grab your phone, voice recorder. Just met with Bob from ABC Company. They were interested in this product, and I'm going to call him back. He's expecting me to call him back next Thursday. Mm-hmm. Boom. So that you have something very specific, or you even want to really score points on the follow-up. I was going to talk about this later, but grab your phone while the person's still next to you, and say, hey, let's do this right here, and do a selfie video and say, I'm here with Bob from ABC Company. We just had a great conversation about our Max product. and I'm going to call Bob. It's okay. I'm going to call you next Thursday at 11 o'clock. Is that right? Okay, yeah. And then you hit that, send that into an email. So now you have reconnected and have double confirmed that email. And you've got a person on video nodding and saying and agreeing that you had a great conversation and all that good stuff.
No, I think that's great advice. I think that, this will probably play into as you get into your create the follow-up strategy. But I just wanted to mention when you mentioned the video, I just feel like there's nothing as powerful for a follow-up than a video. Even if you can't do it with him, say Bob leaves.
Yeah.
But even if you get on that, pull that phone out later on, you write those notes down. You remember, maybe you and Bob were talking about how, the show's in Vegas. He's like, man, I really want to go and check out the, I want to go check out the strip before I leave. And then you take that note down and you can jump on there, after the show and just send that email and be like, hey, Bob, it was great talking to you. I'm looking forward to following up next week. I dropped my Calendly link right here below. Go ahead and pull a time. Man, I hope you made it to the strip tonight and you got to see some fun stuff and we'll talk about it on our call.
Yes.
It's just that personal thing.
Yes.
It's just such a, I feel like people forget, I think part of this job, what I love about it, at least on our end, when we're trying to do sales and marketing, is I love connecting with people and then getting an opportunity to share something personal back with them and show them that they listened.
Absolutely. People want to know that they're being heard. And going back to something you've mentioned, and it just is reinforced over and over, people buy from who they know, like, and trust.
Yes.
And if they like you because you've made that connection, our kids both play t-ball, or we both like hockey or whatever, then all of a sudden you've got one more thing that's going to help build that relationship that could possibly lead to sales.
No, that's great advice. Yeah. Okay, we've been through 1 through 4. And I'm going to end the episode here because I want to go through 5, 6, 7, and 8 in the next episode. And this way, make the episode a little shorter. So,
cliffhanger.
Make sure to watch next week or go on to the next episode if it's already out. But you'll want to hear 5, 6, 7, and 8. And I'm really excited about market to drive traffic because I feel like that's going to be just. I'm just excited to hear your advice on that because I think that's going to be key to getting attendees to show up.
Yeah, so, sounds good.
Thanks for joining me, Jim, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Watch Time. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode.
And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes.
And if you want your question answered on our podcast, go to flexmediacle.com/watchtime.